Welcome back. It is the leadoff on 610 Sports Radio. I'm Brandon Kiley. We got Kramer on the other side of the glass. The Protein House Eat with the Purpose text line 69306. This one comes in from the 913. We've had first round picks in the past. We haven't had a Super Bowl. The text is in response to the discussion we were just having about the Chiefs potentially having to mortgage the future for Jalen Ramsey and why I think it'd be worth it. I looked this up because let's say that it is the missing piece, right? Let's say Jalen Ramsey helps the Chiefs win a Super Bowl. I believe he would. They would have the number 32 overall pick. Here are the last 10 number 32 overall picks. And tell me if you would trade two of these guys for Jalen Ramsey. N'Keal Harry, Lamar Jackson. Okay, that's different because quarterback. Chiefs wouldn't be taking a quarterback. Ryan Ramczyk, good offensive tackle. Emmanuel Ogba, who happens to be on the Chiefs now. Malcolm Brown, who I don't believe is playing football. Teddy Bridgewater. Matt Elam, who I don't think is playing football anymore. David Wilson. Derek Sherrod. Who the hell is Derek Sherrod? And Patrick Robinson. You would trade 10 of those guys for the right to get Jalen Ramsey. We'll talk this over. My guy, Pete Sweeney, is on the line. He is in charge of Arrowhead Pride. He is on Twitter at PG Sweeney, PG Sweeney, S-W-E-E-N. Pete, how you doing this morning, man? You ready to get Jalen Ramsey up in Kansas City?
I'm ready for it, but I'm starting to have my doubts once again. I don't even know if Jacksonville could end up moving him at this point.
What are we doing? What are we doing with this? This is insanity.
I think that Jacksonville and the reports that they want two first-rounders are legitimate. And I also think that there's a possibility now, and it sounds crazy, but maybe Ramsey could also buy into Minshew mania and think that they could get something sneak into one of those wild card positions.
It's just insane because the entire argument all week that I've had is, well, this is the guy that's available. Like, we can want Patrick Peterson or Xavier Howard or Xavier Rhodes or Darius Slay, whoever your favorite cornerback is, the flavor of the day. None of those guys are available, and this guy is. And now the question is he actually available? Like, what is going on in the NFL? This week has been drunk, man. We had the whole Jalen Ramsey saga and then the Antonio Brown thing. I do want to ask you about that, Pete, because one of the questions we got a lot yesterday when the Antonio Brown release came through was, does this change the need for the Chiefs to get a cornerback of the likes of whether it be Patrick Peterson or Jalen Ramsey or whoever your guy is? My answer to that question is no, but what would you say?
I don't think it changes the need. It changes the urgency in my eyes. Once the Patriots had Antonio Brown, and let's for argument's sake throw out all the off the field stuff for a second. They were just a better team. They had too many weapons. They could stick with the Chiefs and everything that they offer on offense. Their defense is better than the Chiefs' defense. Now, to me, the Chiefs and Patriots are back to being pretty close. During the roller coaster 11 days that the New England Patriots had Antonio Brown. He is that dynamic and that good and draws that much attention that I was sure that the Patriots were better than the Chiefs. I think I'm back to I don't know anymore, but it doesn't change the need. I mean, the cornerback position's an obvious need. And the fact that you kind of hear, from Therese, who has better sourcing than I do, but I've heard some rumblings myself, that the Chiefs are interested in a Fitzpatrick, are floating things out for Ramsey, mean that Brett Veach is well aware that the team needs a quarterback. He's going to be in that market. And I think it's closer to the deadline because as the deadline goes, you get to week 8. You've now played 8 games. Some teams are going to be 2-6. Some teams are going to be 1-7. And some cornerbacks that maybe aren't available right now may become available. And the Chiefs need to take a better deal because they don't have a ton of draft capital anymore because of all these picks that they've been sending.
We're talking with Pete Sweeney. He is of Arrowhead Pride. He is on Twitter at PG Sween. All right, Pete, let's kind of turn our attention to the game at hand on Sunday. I just saw this. This came from Jameson Hensley. He is the Ravens reporter for ESPN. He says the forecast for kickoff for the Ravens at Chiefs is 73 degrees with a 95% chance of rain and winds up to 20 miles per hour. It's forecast time, Pete. What do you think this means for the game? Does it change anything in terms of your expectations? Because typically, fantasy football head here, the rain doesn't much matter. The 20 miles per hour gusts of wind definitely matters for fantasy production. And so that would be something that I would be looking into. What do you think this means for the game on Sunday?
Yeah, not so worried about the rain. I mean, I'm no Gary Lezak over here, but yeah, it should definitely be raining. And it's funny because it seems like at least like more than half the games every year at Arrowhead are just nasty weather in one way or another. It's like we've been hot and it's been sunny now for like 4 or 5
Welcome
weeks,
to Kansas like, City, Pete.
Where you can't wear a shirt, and then all of a sudden now on Aaron's first day of Arrowhead, it's pretty nasty out. I don't think it impacts the game. I think Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid are still going to do what they do. Patrick Mahomes last week adjust to a bum ankle. Once he has a bad ankle and still throws 4 touchdowns in 1 quarter, I think that maybe he can throw a few passes and adjust to whatever wind there is. I'm like, after last week, I stopped questioning Patrick Mahomes. I'm no longer questioning Patrick Mahomes. I think he can handle anything that is thrown in his direction.
I did want to ask you about the other side of the ball because the defense to me has been a little better than I expected. It's not that they've been great, but they've been solid for most of the year at this point. And really the biggest thing that's changed from my view is the second half adjustments. I kind of mentioned these stats earlier today. The Jags and the Raiders have averaged 103 yards between them in the second half. Last year, for instance, the Chiefs defense allowed an average of 165 passing yards in the second half. So the Chiefs defense has adjusted at halftime. They have found what they've been doing poorly, and they've found a way to adjust on the fly. What have you seen from Spags so far, and has it been surprising to you as it has for me?
Yeah, you're kind of, I don't know if I'm ruining one of your questions here, but you're kind of walking me into my prediction for the game. I just think that in this particular game, these two offenses are going to go at it in the first half, and then it is going to be a battle of second half adjustments. Like, how can Harbaugh adjust to what the Chiefs are doing? And I have grown to have confidence in what Steve Spagnuolo can do after seeing a first half worth of tape, how to stop this Ravens offense, which is pretty good. I've liked some of the things Spags has done. One of the things Mahomes that you remember said in training camp was he mixes it up every day. And if you're confusing Patrick Mahomes, that's a good sign for me where he's watching the film. He's finding out where the weaknesses are in the Baltimore offense and exploiting them. And then if it doesn't work, he has the power to go in the locker room. And unlike Bob Sutton, won't just keep the 2 cornerbacks on the other side of the field. We're going to press, you know, and cover 2 looks like, no, he actually has a plan here and he adjusts. And I think for sure. And I think that's what was missing with the Chiefs. It's like on the other side of the football, Andy Reid, he's known for his in-game adjustments and Bob Sutton was just stagnant. And so I've grown to be confident. I heard your earlier point in the show where Spags says Bashaud Breeland wanted to go one-on-one with the Raiders' best receiver. And he put him in. Like, I just could never see Bob Sutton do it.
Oh, my God.
I could never see Bob Sutton doing that. He would say, no, go stand where I told you to stand. But, yeah, it just seems like a better feel, better interaction with players, better mood overall for the Chiefs defense.
I wanted to ask you one other thing about the defense. Listen, it's not that Frank Clark's been bad. It's not that Tyrann Mathieu's been bad. I think both of those guys have more or less been pretty solid for most of the season thus far. And the thing that's been missing, though, is there haven't really been a whole lot of big plays between them. And I know this is totally cliche, but I do believe there's some truth to it. Big-time players step up in big-time plays in big-time games. This is a big-time game, Pete. As much as a lot of people are kind of underselling, I think, what this game could ultimately mean in the big picture, it's possible this game could be for the second seed in the AFC this year. I mean, the AFC North does not look very good right now. The Browns are dropping like flies. The Steelers have lost their starting quarterback. It's possible the Ravens' schedule is not very difficult, and that could be a big advantage for them moving forward. If this game is for the second seed in the AFC, that means huge implications for the Chiefs. I think this is the game when we need to see a big play from a guy like Frank Clark and a guy like Tyrann Mathieu. It's why they brought them here. It's what I want to see this weekend. Where are you on those two key additions and what we need to see from them tomorrow?
Yeah, just one point about it being such a big game. I mean, every game matters, and we've seen the NFL respond quickly when they feel like they've met a missed opportunity. Don't be surprised if they start flexing games in week 2 and 3 next year, because I think across nationally, if you look at the map, a lot of people are getting this game, and you can bet that the NFL wishes that it could have flexed it. I think there's no doubt about that. But anyway, yes, I completely agree with Tyrann Mathieu and Frank Clark. Right now, on the defensive line, the Chiefs chose to pay a stranger in Frank Clark and not pay Chris Jones, and he's riding with that last year. And Chris Jones, again, there's 2 different positions, but he looks better than Frank Clark, more explosive, more impact in the game, whereas Frank Clark was paid to be a game wrecker, and he has been far from that so far. He's been pretty good with some run defense. He is getting some extra attention, so you see other guys get sacks, and some of that can be a result of why Jones it looks as good as he does. I think you need a formidable end in this mix. But, yes, one of the major things, and I remember this every time with this Chiefs defense and the players, and Spags preached that they wanted the defense to be a reason the Chiefs win games. And Matthew and Clark are a big part of that, and you haven't seen that thus far. And so, yes, I'm looking forward to that. And it should be easy, right? I mean, this is Arrowhead. I know it's going to be raining, but that place is going to be rocking. It's going to be loud. No shortage of motivation tomorrow.
Last question for you, Pete. We're talking with Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride here on the leadoff on 610 Sports Radio. A lot of people have made a whole heck of a lot about Mahomes versus Jackson and the potential of this being the next big quarterback duo, the next big quarterback rivalry in the AFC. Where are you at on this?
I'm out on it. I had someone tweet at me yesterday. First it was Baker Mayfield. Then it was Deshaun Watson. Now it's Lamar Jackson. And it's hard to name that the next Brady versus Manning, because for the next 3 or 4 years, Mahomes versus Brady is still a thing. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to have several different ones. If I'm comparing it, though, it reminds me more of a three quarterback. I think we're ignoring Watson because of the Texans' rough start, but Watson to me is just as good as these guys. And to me, it's more of a Roethlisberger, Rivers, Eli type of trio thing, as opposed to like these two great quarterbacks. Easy to say in Kansas City. We're biased here, but I anticipate Patrick Mahomes to be a thing for a very long time. I don't know if the way Lamar Jackson plays is sustainable, and look no further than his backup, Robert Griffin III. And so with that being said, you got to be on the field, and your team has to be competitive for a rivalry like that. I want to see the Ravens do a little bit more. We've seen now two games where they've looked pretty good against bad opponents. The Chiefs are coming off an AFC title. And Patrick Mahomes threw 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards for a whole year. Like, let's see it more than 2 weeks before we start crowning Jackson as Mahomes' next foe.
He is Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride. He's on Twitter at PG Sweeney. You can hear him on the AP tailgate 10 a.m. tomorrow leading into the game. Pete, what do you guys have lined up for tomorrow on the Arrowhead Pride tailgate show?
The usual, but I think it's a pretty good show we put together. We look at both sides of the football. We bring on our experts who have dove into the film. We have Paul Charchian on for some fantasy talk. We'll call Baltimore and get some of their input from the other side. Ken Swanson is fantastic, and we'll get you ready, right, leading right into the game. Rather than taking in the TV, you're going to be watching TV all day. Turn on the radio. Eat breakfast with your family. Come listen to Ken Swanson and Pete Sweeney.
And get the Chiefs perspective. That's all you really want. Let's be honest here. You've heard plenty about how, hey, you guys know what? Tom Brady, he's pretty good at football. You've heard plenty of that. Come listen to Pete Sweeney. You'll be able to do so right here on 610 Sports Radio tomorrow beginning at 10 a.m. Pete, you're the best man. Always appreciate the time.
Okay, BK, take care.
You bet. That is Pete Sweeney joining us here on The Leadoff on 610 Sports Radio.
The Leadoff with Brandon Kiley, 610 Sports Radio.